My name's Nikki Coles. I am from London, Ontario, and I work in the office with TWR Canada as the communications manager. And it is great to be here in Winkler today, so thank you so much for having us. As my job in communications, it's my job to make sure that you all know who we are as TWR. And a great way to do that is by reading some of our literature, which can be found just outside the door here as you leave today. We have our newest newsletter, which was just released on August 31st, so it's very new. Thank you, Vanna. That's great. That's awesome. So this is a bit of a longer newsletter than we usually produce. We have some awesome impact stories in there for you to read. Then we also have this booklet, which is our introduction booklet. So if you don't know anything about TWR, this is what I encourage you to pick up and read. It gives a really good understanding of who we are as a ministry, what our strategic goals are, and who we're reaching. That includes evangelism and discipleship, programming for men, women, and children, programming for the Canadian church, and our infrastructure and global network, and then mobilizing missionaries as well. So it's a huge amount of things that we're doing out of our Canadian office. We also are part of a program called Women of Hope, and this used to be called Project Hannah until about 3 years ago, and this is an awesome program, not just for women, but for men as well. Inside these booklets, you can learn more about the ministry, but you can also get our prayer calendars and pray for women globally, and this is something that we do as a staff. All the women in our office, we meet the first Thursday of every month, and we pray through our Women of Hope prayer calendar for the needs around the world. And then we also, I've started doing this now with a bunch of my friends in my church. So it can be done. Like, you can do it. Pray for these women. And then also we have just our general TWR prayer calendar, which focuses on either a missionary or a project every week. So, it's a great way to get to know the ministry as well. We also have a program called Discipleship Essentials, which is 137 lessons in discipleship, from the basics of who is Jesus to how to share the gospel and everything in between. There are some cards out there as well that tell you about all those lessons, and I would encourage you, if you're looking for a way to reach in your community. I just actually spoke to somebody on Friday who's a high school teacher in Winnipeg, and she uses it, or the kids in her school, she's in the public school system, so she can't actually use it, but they are using this as a tool for their Christian club in their high school. So it's a great tool again, and it's free. So all of this is free. Come talk to me after, and I'll let you know more information.
Thank you, Nikki. Appreciate that. How many of you were at the TWR banquet there last night? Just put your hand up. So some of you couldn't make it. I know that. But last night, we actually had a little bit of a preview and some highlights on what God is doing in India. And so I'm going to be leaving this up here just so George can explain it. And there's a chart out there just like that out on the table. And I would encourage you to get it. And in fact, all of these materials, if you don't really have any sense and exposure to what's going on with TWR, this is certainly a wonderful opportunity. I had to pull a few favors so I can get them to be here this weekend so we could actually highlight the ministry of TWR. George is a wonderful servant of the Lord and has been involved with TWR, I think you said 36 years, and has been serving and overseeing all of the TWR ministry in India. How many of you know what the population of India is, apart from those of you who were at the banquet last night? Somebody want to give us a guess? How many people on the planet, roughly? 7 billion. Well, what if I said to you that 1/7 of the world's population is found in one country, and that's India? There's 1.3 billion people. It's phenomenal. It's hard for us to comprehend. George lives in Delhi, New Delhi, where there's 22 million people. And what's the population of Canada? Okay, depending on who you listen to, it's 33, 37. Anybody going for 50? Okay, somewhere in there, maybe 37 or so. And so we're a small country compared to India, and yet geographically we're a large country in comparison to India. And so, George, it's a pleasure to have you, and pray that the Lord would bless your ministry as you share with us. Tell us briefly a little bit more about yourself and your family, and then share the word with us, and we'd like to come up and pray with you at the end of the service. Come on up, brother. Yep. Oh, junior church. Children, ages 3 and 4, if you would follow. Mary Ann's, okay? Don't all rush at once. Okay. And by the way, at the end of the service today, we're having potluck lunch, and the folks from Emmaus will be joining us. And so please stay if you can, and let's enjoy some fellowship together. Come on up, brother.
Good morning. Of course, you can do better. Good morning. I know it's going to be 12 o'clock. You may be thinking it's whether good morning or good afternoon. And I want to thank God for this wonderful opportunity to come and be with you. And I want to thank Pastor Mike and Rini for taking care of us last 2 days. We thoroughly enjoyed their home. It's so comfortable. And the food was wonderful, delicious. Thank you so much. And I want to thank each one of you who attended last night our banquet and listened to what the Lord is doing through Transworld Radio. TWR India. I will be talking more about TWR India. Transworld Radio India, we started 40 years back. And today we have programs in 100-plus languages. Some of you think, what do you mean by 100 languages? Here, we have 2 languages, right? Okay. In India, we have 1,652 languages and dialects. You can imagine how vast it is. Out of that, we have selected 150 languages now to prepare God's word and disseminate to the people of our country through different mass media. And the Lord is blessing the ministry. We use radio mainly. We have one limitation when we use radio, because we can't use the in-country radio stations, because the government doesn't allow us to use the radio stations within the country. So we always go outside the country and we broadcast to the country. So because of that, the reception is always a struggle. We don't get good reception inside the country. But because of that, we use different other medias too. We have few major languages in television. We have other programs in the social media. We distribute programs through media players. When you go out, there is a counter where you can see media players are kept. And also we have this 150 languages listed down. If you are interested to pray for any particular language, please tell it to your pastor. He will be in touch with us. We will give you all the details of those languages. You can pray for those languages. And the Lord is helping us to prepare programs in these languages. Radio is still very effective. 2 months back, I was speaking to a group of pastors. And at the end of my talk, one pastor came forward and said, "Brother, do you know, because of your radio program, a whole village has come to the Lord?" So I asked him how it happened. He said, "One young man listened to your radio program in the village, and that made others to know about Jesus Christ." I asked my friends how far that place from where I was. So the friends calculated and they said it's 200 kilometers from where I was taking this seminar. And I made arrangement to go to this particular village. When I say 200 kilometers for you, it's less. For you, it is less than 2 hours, but for us, it was almost a day. We traveled the whole day. We reached this particular village. It's a very isolated interior village, and we asked who was the young man first listened the program. This was about 20 years back. A man came forward and said, I was that person. Then he shared his testimony. He said when he was 18 years of age, he was so disturbed in his life. Never heard the name of Jesus, never seen a Christian anywhere, never seen a church. So one day he was so desperate. He had an old transistor radio. He was just tuning the radio. And he came across his mother tongue. His mother tongue is called Sora. When I say Sora, it is very, very much connected to Canada. Because two missionaries, 120 years back, went to this community. So they worked there. And today there is a large number of Christians because of Canadian Baptist Mission. Anyway, this particular village has never reached by them because it was very isolated. This person has heard the gospel through radio and his life changed. So he was looking for a Christian. At last, somebody said, there is a Christian 15 kilometers away. So this young man walked 15 kilometers and met the Christian. And he said that, I heard about Jesus through radio. Can you tell me more about it? And that person taught him and baptized him. And this boy came back to his home. And seeing the changes in his life, his family members came to the Lord. And the neighbors started coming to the Lord. And very soon, around 200 people of that village, completely 100% came to the Lord just because of radio. This is a regular thing happening in our country. I wanted to ask you to pray for the ministry of Transworld Radio, especially the ministry in India. As Pastor already mentioned to you, you can take those sheets with 150 languages. And pray for us. In recent days, we have started something called Radio Homes. Radio Homes are small group of people come and study the word through a media player. Many places, it's very difficult to have leaders, teachers, and pastors to go into the villages and teach the word. But because of these radio homes, we have the material prepared in their mother tongue. We copy that into the memory cards and place to them in the media place, and they meet every week and listen to the program. Continue to pray for the Ministry of Transworld Radio India, and we will be more than happy to share with you more details in coming days through Transworld Radio Canada. This morning I want to talk to you about Christian stewardship. Okay. If you don't understand anything what I say because of my pronunciation or my English, please don't waste your time thinking or guessing what I am talking. Just follow what you understand. Okay. I have my daughter. I have a daughter who is having a master's in English literature. Tried her level best to teach me English, and she could only do this much. Okay. But now she lives in the US, and so she is there. I have my wife and two children. I already said about my daughter, married and settled in Virginia Beach. My son is in Christian ministry, in TWR ministry, with us in India, in Delhi. And both are married, and all of us are in Christian ministry, and we are so thankful to God for the privilege of serving the Lord. This morning, can you just think of two things which you think you own? Can you just think of two things which you think is yours? You got it? two things which you think is yours. All are looking at me. Did you get it? Can you tell it to the person sitting next to you? Two things? Husband, wife, children? You got it? Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, my next question. Do you enjoy them? Do you enjoy the things which you think you own, which is yours? If you Google this particular name, name is Hetty Green. If you Google this name, Hetty Green, you will see, you know, a lady who lived 100 years back in America. Hetty Green is a lady who lived. She died in 1916. 100 years back she died. When she died, she had a property worth of 100 million. 100 million worth of property was there when she died. But in the Google, what you read about her is America's greatest miser. You understand miser? America's greatest miser. She used to have cold oatmeal 3 times a day. Because if she needs to warm it up, then she has to spend money. She never wanted to do that. She had only one son. And this man met with an accident. And he had a wound on his leg. The mother went around searching for free treatment for 2 weeks. And at last they had to amputate his leg because it got infected so badly. She is one of the greatest misers lived on earth. You can learn more about her if you Google and if you find her story. Why I want to say this one? Many of us own things in life, but we never enjoy them. But today, I wanted to tell you how to enjoy what God has given you. Generally, there are two attitudes towards what we have. Two attitudes towards things what we own. The first attitude is possessiveness. You understand possessiveness? Possessive. This is mine. Certain people are very possessive. Very, very possessive. Where is my phone? Where is my this? Where is my that? They always ask, mine. Who entered into my room? Who has taken my bird? Who has taken my book? For everything, they are very, very possessive. Possessive people, you know, if, you know, they are very, very careful with their things. Another group is called, their attitude is apathy. Apathy. You understand apathy? Apathy? I'm not bothered. The car is not serviced for months. I'm not bothered. The house is not cleaned for weeks. Don't worry. You know, that's an attitude. One attitude is mine. I'm not going to share with anybody. Another one, I don't worry. Let it be like that. But stewardship, Bible doesn't support both these attitudes. Bible talks about stewardship. Stewardship is one of the central themes throughout the scripture. Like the fundamental Christian themes of creation, fall, redemption, and consummation, the subject of stewardship also is one of the main themes in the Bible. Steward is a person who manages another person's property or financial affairs. Or a steward can be called as a manager. Many people connect this with tithing. Tithing. Remember, it's two different things. Tithing has to do with what we give. But stewardship has to do with what we keep for ourselves. Tithing has to do with what we give. But stewardship has to do with what we keep it for ourselves. It is more about how we manage what is left over after we give. The basis of Christian stewardship, I already said, it is managing somebody else's property. So, the basis of Christian stewardship is God owns everything. God owns everything. And I don't own anything. Psalm chapter 24, 24th Psalm, verse 1, we read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. God owns everything. We don't own anything. Psalm 50, verses 10, 11, and 12, we read the same thing. God says that all what you see is mine. God owns everything, and we don't own anything. If you understand and acknowledge this truth, everything changes. Everything changes. When I think I own my wife, no, I can do anything to her if the law, until the police come and catch me, I can shout at her, I can get upset with her because I own her. But when I start thinking, I don't own my wife, God owns her. And he has given my wife to me. My attitude towards her changes. When I think I own my children, I can get upset with them. They are mine. I can do anything what I want. But when I understand and I acknowledge God owns my children and he gave me those children to me, and one day I have to give an account to God, everything changes. I'll be very, very careful dealing with somebody else's property. So this is the basis of Christian stewardship. So, if you think that you own your wife, now you have to go and tell her, I don't own you. Okay? But don't tell now. Go home and do that. You have to tell that God gave you to me. And I know one day I have to give an account. I don't own the job which I am doing. God gave me that job. One day I have to give an account. I don't own the relationships I have. God gave me those friends. I don't own the house which I live. God has given it to me. I don't own the car which I drive. God gave it to me. I have to give an account one day to God. So, the first and the most fundamental theme of biblical stewardship is God's ownership of and his dominion over all things seen and unseen. So, Christian stewardship is all about carrying out the wishes of the owner God. And if he is going to ask an account today, will he say that, good and faithful servant? Or he has something else to say? So, how to manage? That's a question. How to manage what God has given to us? How to manage? Bible is the greatest management book. in one way. The best management principles are in Bible. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, after God created everything, He created Adam and Eve, the beautiful garden, the wonderful universe. He called this husband and wife, Adam and Eve. Then He told them how to manage it. He said three things. He said, do three things to what I am giving you. In the old translation, it goes like this. You till it, you keep it, you have food from it. The greatest management principle is till it. You understand tilling? Plowing, you know, digging. Till it, keep it, and have food from it. What does He say to Adam and Eve? God was telling Adam and Eve, now I have given you all these beautiful things to manage. Now, till it. Till it means work hard. Work hard and make it something better. That's number one. If you think God has given you a wife, then God is asking, work hard and make her the best woman on this earth. If God has given you a husband, work hard and make him the best man on this earth. If God has given you a job, work hard and make that's the best job on this earth. If God has given you a house, work hard. Make it so beautiful. Work hard. That's number one. Till it. Management principle two. You keep it. We have a problem. We work hard and we lose it. The father is working hard to take care of the family, but no time for the family. He lost the family. Don't lose it. Keep it. Many times we forget the second one. So God says, keep it. Management principle three. Have food from it. Enjoy what God has given you. Enjoy what God has given you. Now, when we read, enjoy, the parable which we read prior to my coming up is Matthew chapter 25 verses 14 to 30. We see three servants. The first servant got 5 bags of gold, second got 2 bags of gold, and third one got how much? Oh, now you understand. Okay. 1 bag of gold. And the master comes back, and the first one and the second one brought double. And they said, here it is. He told them the same sentence. Good and faithful servant, I'm going to bless you. But the third one, he said, he brought what God had gave him. What the master gave him, he brought it back. He did not lose it. But he said, wicked and lazy servant. Why? Why did this master say that? Did he get it back? Yes, he got it back. The reason being, he did not follow this principle. First, he did not work hard. He kept it somewhere or the other, but that was not actually keeping. And he never enjoyed it. All what God has given you, God expects you to make it better, not lose it, you enjoy it. Then it's going to be the best stewardship. Bible is filled with examples of various kinds of stewards. Effective ones and ineffective ones. Faithful ones, unfaithful ones. wise stewards, foolish stewards. Good stewards, wicked stewards. Hardworking stewards, lazy stewards. It describes the rewards and consequences associated with the quality of their stewardship. In closing, I just wanted to mention three areas where we need to be faithful stewards. God is looking for faithfulness. Three areas. You can have more areas, but I just want to mention three areas in our life. Number one, God expects each one of us to be faithful in taking care of our body. Faithful stewards of our body. Our body. That's the first one. God wants us to be faithful stewards of our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 we read, our body is God's temple, and such we need to treat it as our mutual dwelling place. God also dwells in this body. That's what Bible tells us. We are caretakers of our bodies. So, we need to have proper food and we need to have proper exercise. We cannot be lazy when it comes to taking care of our bodies. Through this body, we need to glorify God. And also, the more healthy we remain, the more useful we can be for the kingdom of God. This is the only one body you and me receive this side of the eternity. Do not destroy your body with substance, with wrong attitudes, wrong habits. Don't destroy your body. This body is a gift from God and doesn't belong to us. It is God's. Work hard. Make it better. Keep it. Don't lose it. And enjoy it. Number two, we should be faithful stewards of our time. Time. It seems many of us take it lightly when it comes to, or take it for granted when it comes to time management. Someone said, it seems insane to me that a person would be willing to trade what he has a shortage, that is of time, in order to gain more of what he already has of surplus, that is wealth. We spend time. No one can make an additional deposit into that time account. So, time is so precious. We need to be very careful. We need to plan well. We need to have timetables in our life. We need to know how we are spending our time. Because you can only spend. You cannot make an additional account, additional deposit of your time. So how do you spend your time? Are you spending your time to glorify God? The third area I wanted to mention is God expects us to be faithful in handling the wealth God has given us. Someone said you can live on less when you have more to live for. When you have something important to live for, you can even live on less. A willing reduction. So, how to be faithful in the money matters, in the wealth God has given us? The first thing, we need to have a change in perspectives. Change in perspectives. The whole world think making more money is what is the best thing to do in this earth. So we need to have a change in perspective. People, there's a lot of materialistic thinking going on. But we need to know how important it is to have the best stewardship in relation to the wealth. Change in perspective. So from where you see money or the wealth is more important. If you see from the angle of the world, then you think that is the most important thing. But when you see it from the point of the eternity, you will know it differently. I remember an illustration. Once I was invited to speak in a convention in Dubai. You heard about Dubai. This is United Arab Emirates. So we had 3 days of convention, every day evening meetings. One day I was free. So some of my friends said, why don't you come? We wanted to show you the city. So they had taken me to this tallest building in the world. I think something else is coming taller than that. The name of that building is Burj Khalifa. It's the tallest, 830 meters high. So I was standing down there looking at this building. And it's palatial, so rich, so beautiful, huge. Standing there, I could see myself like a small mosquito. Nothing, you know, in front of this building, what am I? Nothing. And the luxury, everything around. 2 days after, they put me in a plane to go back to Delhi. I got into the plane. I purposely sat at that side to see this building when the plane takes off. The plane took off. I looked from there and this building is standing there as a mosquito. From where you see things makes the difference. Many times we see from the world's point of view. We have to see from the point of eternity. So a change in perspective is what is required. We will gladly live on less when our perspective is reoriented and reveals something more to live for. Not only that, that leads us to change in priorities. Our priorities will determine our choices. What are the priorities in life? Do you have, when you make the budget, you will know what are the priorities. God has helped us to have things in life, but one day we have to give an account to God. That will ultimately lead us in a change in purpose. Change in purpose. What do I mean by change in purpose? This one question I always ask in my life. Did God give me material possessions to increase my lifestyle or to increase my kingdom impact? Let me repeat it again. Ask this question. It will help you. Did God give us material possessions to increase our lifestyle or to increase our kingdom impact? Many examples are there in the Bible and also in the church history. One I always like is John Wesley. You all know John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, Methodist movement. John Wesley was so methodical. That's why the church is called Methodist. So methodical he was. So disciplined he was. If you get a chance to read his biography and his brother Charles Wesley's biography and his mother Susanna Wesley's biography, read it. It will really help you. So, John Wesley in 1731, John Wesley's monthly income was 30 British pounds. 30. His monthly income was 30 British pounds in 1731. He used to spent for his needs 28 British pound and gave away 2 British pound every month. After some time, John Wesley's income has gone up to 60 British pound. 60 British pound. He still lived on 28 British pound and he gave away the rest to the ministry. After some time, his income has gone to 120 British pound. He still lived on 28 British pound and gave away the rest. When he was retiring, his monthly income was 1,400 British pound. And the book says John Wesley lived on 32 British pounds and he gave away the rest. You know, he had a principle in his life. That's why he was able to do. I'm not saying that everybody has to do that way. But there is a lesson which we can learn. The Lord has blessed us with so many things. The question is, are we faithful stewards of what God has given us? One can be a faithful steward of all what is entrusted to him only when he or she acknowledges that God owns him and everything he has or she has. This morning I want to ask each one of you to examine your own life. If the Lord asks an account today of your time, of your family, of all what God has given you, will he say that same statement what he said to the man who had 5 bags of gold? Good and faithful servant. You were faithful in little things, and I'm going to reward you with greater responsibilities. May the Lord bless each one of us, especially this church, to be a group of people faithful in what God has given to you. Thank you so much.